I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Oh, I know I say this all the time, but I've got a great episode for you today. I sit down with actor David Carlisle. You definitely know David from It's a Sin, but we talk about his life, I guess, leading up to one of the most important and an astoundingly brilliant TV shows of the last year or so. But we have a lovely chat and I can't wait for you to hear it. Before we get on with that chat, a few thank yous. Thanks to Screwpip and all my friends at the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to 76 for producing this. Always the biggest thanks go to you lot for listening, liking, subscribing, sharing, retweeting, messaging and just being bloody nice. So yeah, thanks loads. If this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track, then when you get to the end of today's episode with David, why not go and have a look in the archives, because there's 350 episodes in available for you to go and listen to for free. If you like hearing actors talking about music, you can hear me talking to Maxine Peake, Amanda Abington, Joe Hartley, Thomas Turgus, who else? Michael Smiley. Gosh, there's lots and lots. And musicians, you know, I've had some absolute superstars that I've been blessed to have had give up their time. You can hear me talking to Foo Fighters, Motley Crue, Idols, Suede, Sleaford Mods, Fatboy Slim, Suede. Yeah. Go and have a look in the archives, and see which ones tickle your fancy, and they're all free. If you'd like to support the podcast, then subscribe. That really helps. If you see us on the socials, give us a like, love, a share, a retweet. Feel free to always drop us a message. And yeah, also there's a Patreon. Patreon's like a kind of crowd support thing. And I put up stuff over there. So there's a back catalogue of 200 episodes over there. There's loads of videos. You can watch all the episodes over on Patreon. And it'll cost you 20p a week. I think it's 99p a month or a dollar a month. So, yeah, you can support the podcast there. That's just Patreon, patreon.com/offthebeatandtrack. Well, in fact, your one-stop shop for everything you need to know about this podcast and back catalogues and everything else is www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. That's beat and, not beaten. Beat and track. See what I've done there? Beats and tracks. Tracks of life, you know, all of that. Anyway, you know the drill by now. We're 350 episodes in. If you don't, where have you been? And as mentioned earlier, if you've not been on track, then go catch up. Go get stuck in. Tell your mates. Stick it on your headphones when you're out on your push bike, or just one headphone. Make sure you still have a little listen to the traffic. I'm waffling now. I'll tell you what, let's have some ace chat. And that ace chat is coming via today's guest. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track podcast with David Carlisle. Sorry, I've interrupted the podcast, but with good reason. Hotel Chocolat are our sponsors. You know that now because I tell you about it every episode. But they've been super kind now. And you may have heard me talking about the products from the cacao bar. And there's gins, cream liqueurs, all sorts of wonderful chocolatey goodies. And what they've done is they've set a page up on the website that you can go to. And all you've got to do is just for you off the beaten track listeners, go over there, answer a question, and you could win the full range delivered to your front door. I mean, that's kind of them. All you have to do is go to this place, hotelchocolat.com/OTBT podcast. That's OTBT as in off the beaten track podcast. hotelchocolat.com/OTBT podcast. Go get your grubby little mitts on some deliciously chocolatey drinks, courtesy of our sponsors, Hotel Chocolat. I'll get back to the podcast. It's Off the Beaten Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin. Okay, we are recording. David, how are you doing today?
I'm all right, thanks. Yeah, I'm happy to be chatting to you. I'm
wonderful, excited. Mate. Where are you today?
I'm at home in London. Yeah, I was doing a bit of teaching this morning, which was good. Kept me busy. I got a bike recently to keep my fitness up after lockdown. So I was cycling there and back today, which is great. And then this is my kind of reward, my bit of chill time, chatting to you about my music.
How are you finding cycling in London?
Yeah, it's a bit of a blood sport, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
You've got to keep your wits about you. It's all right. I mean, actually, see the City Mapper app. I mean, this is so geeky, but like the City Mapper app's awesome because it tells you different routes to go that doesn't mean you've got to deal with white vans and stuff. So it's like more back roads. So it's pretty good. Or like via the canals that are around. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. There's a sort of 20-minute part of my journey, which is about an hour, that's hairy. But yeah. Yeah, otherwise it's good. Yeah. Very hairy.
You mentioned lockdown there. Before we get on with the song choice, it's just to touch on that. You know, we're recording this in October, and we're in a far more open and connected time now than we was at the start of this year and last year. How did you find that time, both personally and creatively?
Yeah. When it first happened, when was that now? But March, wasn't it? Yeah, March 2020. I actually really was grateful for the time. It was a weird contradiction, isn't it? Because something horrible was happening in the country and it was scary and upsetting. But I was grateful for the time to slow down. I think when you're a freelancer and you're in an industry that's so competitive, you can... the rat race can get a bit much, and it was really nice to have it stop for a minute and feel like you shouldn't be doing something. I always struggle with that. I always feel kind of, oh, I need to be working or I need to be doing something else. Oh. So that was really great to have that time. And then I got bored. and then I got upset because we had to cancel our wedding. So that was like a couple of months down the line, we had to cancel that. That was painful. Reorganizing the whole thing, that was just irritating. And then I put myself to good use and we bought a flat because we basically had a bit of money then because we were cancelled the wedding till, you know, God knows when. So I was like, well, let's spend the money semi-wisely. And I just said, can we do this? You know, went for it. And then we ended up buying a flat, which is just amazing, and that kept me busy. And then I kind of came out of it and actually found time to like exercise. And I personally, I didn't find it too difficult. I was up and down like everybody. Creatively, it's been hell. I mean, I think actors are good at keeping themselves creative because we tend to expect to be out of work, but knowing that work isn't going to happen, that's been kind of tough, you know, because what keeps you going is that there might be something around the corner, so you've got to stay prepared for it, you know, like match fit, and knowing that for such a long time, nothing was happening. I have to say I found the more recent months more difficult just because the world is limping back to to life. What did Johnson say? God, the sleeping giant. yeah, all right. It's coming back to life. It was like, but it's coming back to life slowly. And I was kind of like, oh, things are going to start really happening. But actually, they're not quite. It's still going to take a while. And that's kind of tough to accept. But so it's up and down. I mean, I can't complain, but nor can I also say it was amazing. It was just up and down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's start the playlist. And,
oh, God, okay.
And David, for track one, I'm going to ask you please to tell me the song that you regard as having the greatest ever intro, please.
I think it's Purple Rain, Prince.
And why is that? Yeah. I mean, I'm not disagreeing. It's an incredible record.
Okay, well, because we're on Zoom, right? For those, I mean, I'm just looking at your face going, is that cool or not? I just don't know. why did I choose it? To be honest, it just makes my spine tingle. Yeah. And there's no other reason than that. I've got a kind of link to all of these songs that I've chosen, and most songs, I think, as most people do. But, and so there's a real clear image in my mind of being on a plane flying back from London at 18. It was my first sort of major outing on my own, and I just auditioned to drama school. And I just really remember listening to this song. But that's not the reason why I chose it. I just think it makes my spine tingle. I just think it's really beautiful. I think it's got a, and I love him. And I just like, and sometimes I wonder if you can actually describe something that feels like it came from somebody's soul. And I don't mean to sound overly wanky about that, but I feel
if you want to talk wanky about music, you're on the right podcast, mate.
Yeah, that's true. Very good. Yeah, cool. Well, yeah, I just feel like he was feeling something and it came out of it, and then you'll never not be able to experience that. Like, I just hear that at the beginning of it, and I'm like, oh, it takes my breath away. I just think it's extraordinary. And, oh, can I tell you, actually, this isn't a lie. I promise you it isn't a lie. And you knew I sent you these songs last night. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
This morning, on my bike ride, I safely listened to one ear of something, and I went, oh, I'm just going to go back to like Stu's back catalogue and have a listen, and I found your one with Gail Porter, and I went, oh my god, like, I really think she's super cool. We kind of like share emojis with each other, like on Instagram. We haven't kind of like connected properly, but I think she's like super cool. And I was listening to that, and her best intro is Purple Rain, yeah. Prince. I honestly never fell off my bike. I was like, oh, what? That was such a coincidence.
Oh, you've got to message her about this, because she's one of my best mates, gal. Like, and she'll love that. She'll absolutely love that. You've got to do it.
I will. Because every morning, you know, on Twitter, she puts like her good morning, and she does a good night as well. And I just think that is absolute gift game that she's got. And I just think I like kind of wake up to her and go to sleep with her gift game. And I just think she's super cool. I've admired that like since I was a kid. And then I nearly fell off my bike this morning when she said that, Purple Rain. I can't talk about the song as cool as she can, because she's got, I mean, so much insight. But I just feel like it makes my spine tingle, and I just love it. I love the whole song. I can't stop listening to it when it's on. You know, it's one of those that I need people to shut up so I can hear the whole thing, and it makes me emotional in all kinds of ways. Not just an emotional side, you know, just like it's all kind of feel it. I love it.
It's quite euphoric as well. I think my favourite bit, I mean, I'm not a fan of guitar solos apart from in Purple Rain. The guitar solo's just too good. And it's just that, right at the end, when he literally is almost howling, just say, whoo, hoo, hoo.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not do that justice there. I will. But so good, isn't it? So good.
And I think, like, even just everything that's attached to that song, so some of the footage you see of him playing it live, the video, the camera sort of looking up at him is like iconic, kind of 80s cinematography or something. Just like, we're going to come underneath and just show him standing backlit, like dong, with his guitar, like, oh yeah, I love him a lot.
Did you ever get to see Prince?
Never. And I actually came, to be honest, I actually came to Prince kind of late. I don't know, because I was of the generation of maybe that's not the right thing to say, not the generation of, but I was of the school of Michael Jackson is the one I want to be listening to.
Yeah.
And so it was later on that then I think it was like one of my dad's kind of like, I don't know, one of his mates or something, maybe had like a Prince poster and everything, and what's that? And then, not what's that, I'd sort of heard about it and went, oh, I'll just start listening. And then it was really like proper, maybe 16, 17 that I started actually listening to his music and thinking you're amazing.
I think what's that is exactly the right way to approach Prince, because I'm of a generation where, you know, I'm 48. So I was probably 10 or 11 when Purple Rain come out and the film come out, and all of a sudden, you know, I was being exposed to Michael Jackson, Madonna, you know, the real pop heavyweights. But I remember just seeing, first of all, before Purple Rain, seeing a video to When Doves Cry, and it was, which was the first kind of glimpse we saw of the film Purple Rain, seeing him on the motorbike, and I was like, what is that? Because he was just like, he was like a Bowie. He looked like nothing else. He was like, I don't know what I'm looking at. It's amazing, whatever it is, and I want to know more. And
That's it. I want to know more.
Yeah. And like, and anything that come out of his mouth or anything he picks up and played, just, and I don't use the word genius very often, but I think it's safe to say Prince was one.
Definitely. There was an interview he did where someone said, like, about him playing an instrument, and he went, what one? And then they were like, well, this one. And he was like, then he named all the chords, all the, I mean, it was just like, he just knew everything. He was an absolute master at his craft. And I just loved as well, like, I think the androgyny, if that's the right word.
Definitely.
Yeah. I just, as a young guy, and particularly like I'm gay and sort of worrying, God, about my sexuality, I remember just seeing this master and going, you are like a whole thing I need to start to understand. Him and Bowie, you know, I was like, what is this? And Boy George, you know, and this, how can they look like that and be so cool and so worshipped? Like that for me was encouraging.
it's so weird looking back now. And I'm of an age where I remember first seeing George on Top of the Pops doing, would have been Do You Really Want to Hurt Me, I think. And going to school the next day and it being on the front page of like the tabloids, is that a boy or a girl? And it was like, and I remember just being so intrigued and fascinated that there was something like that wasn't tailor-made pop. It was like, oh, this is something different. This is, I'm drawn to something here. There's something more interesting here. There's depth to this. Like, love the fact that I'm questioning what I'm looking at, and like, and when you look at it now, and you just think, I suppose maybe because everybody's completely aware of who Boy George is now, it almost seems ridiculous to think the fact that everybody, is that a boy or a girl? And it was like, that shows, I guess, where the country was at the time. But surreal. But then when...
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you, absolutely, and you look back at the interview, that famous interview with the Sex Pistols on Bill Grundy, where, like, you know, they're swearing at him, and it was this like outrageous thing that they said fuck on the telly on this chat show, and you know, it was like, God, get these punks out of this, you know, out of the country. And it was like, they just said fuck on telly. It's you just think, how was that such this huge thing? But I guess that's how we progress and move forward, and
that's it. The country was repressed at some point, and these artists just were like, excuse me.
Exactly.
I love that.
Exactly. Right, well, let's stay in the formative years, David. I'm going to ask you, please, to tell me the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
I really struggled with whether I should tell you, because this is the God's honest truth. It is My Heart Will Go On, Celine Dion.
Okay. See, the thing is, it's like, I don't want you to get this misconception that, like, this podcast is about cool records. This podcast is about the records that matter. And, like,
and it mattered to me. But, I mean, I don't, whether this is a cool podcast or not, it's so uncool to say that I was emotionally impacted by My Heart Will Go On. Although Celine is an absolute hero of mine, but that song, I mean, yeah. Oh, God. But you know what? I am who I am, and that's the way I felt.
So tell me why this, then.
So it's purely to do with Titanic. So I went to see that. I think I must have just been about maybe 12 or 13 when it came out, that film. And I went with my mum and I went with my sister to see it. And I remember just not being able to cope with the fact that Leonardo DiCaprio, spoiler alert, died. Really not being able to cope with it. Really, not, and I think the whole love story between them, I just took way too, like, intensely. I guess that young teenager, the young gay boy in me was just like, this is too much. And then that song spoke to me on all kinds of levels. It felt like, again, young little queer boy just really, like, waking up to this. And I remember saying to my mum, when I heard the song come, that it was out on single, CD, I was like, we need to go. So she made her drive me down to Asda and get that song. And I came back and I put it on in my room, and I remember crying to the song, like, in my room. And I remember my mum, you know, passing the room, like, on the way to the toilet or something, and looking at me quizzically, like, that's a funny thing for a young boy to do. Just sobbing to, like, listening to Celine Dion. I don't really know what it felt, what the impact was. It's just something to do with the fact that those two were in love and he died. And I was probably in love with, what was his name, Jack Dawson?
Yeah.
Leo DiCaprio, I think, probably at that time.
I think he broke a few hearts around then, didn't he?
Yeah. I was basically, I mean, I was a young teenage girl really at that point, wasn't I? So that's what was happening. Yeah, that was the first song. I mean, it doesn't now, but there is an amazing club beat of it, a club version that I remember hearing in GAY some years later, and just going, whoever did this is a genius. They've turned this song into
a club. I'm glad that was a positive experience. You didn't just have to, like, just fell to your knees in tears in the middle of the dance floor.
No. It was all good. I was uplifted. I was transcended, and I went on the dance floor in GUI for sure. But yeah, it was just that song broke me for a long, long time. It really did.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. All right, well, we're going to stay in the formative years, David, for track three. And I'm going to ask you, please, to tell me the song that reminds you of your time at school.
This one is Spitting Games, Snow Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
I love that song. You know, and I knew it immediately when you sent the question. I went, right, that's the song. But I hadn't listened to it in a while. And so I played it again a couple of nights ago and just thought, oh, God, everything about it. I think with that song, because I was at school, high school, during the American Pie film sort of time, right? So there was just that, we sort of wanted to be those Americans with the red plastic cups, sort of dancing around. And yeah, do you know, that was the cool thing for us.
Did you know what? Did that ever exist, right? Because, you know, yeah, that know. Whole American Pie, Blink 182 kind of, the red cups thing, these frat parties that look like the most rock. Do they actually happen?
I don't know. I need to meet an American who I trust and find out. Yeah, I really hope they did, and I really hope they do, because otherwise Hollywood's selling us all kinds of lies, aren't they? Because, I mean... I lived my life based on that promise that was what was cool. Yeah. Oh, God, I hope they do. Blink 182, that was maybe the other band I was going to have a look at, but Spitting Games was just it. I have to say as well, I don't think I was very cool when I was at school. I was a bit of a geek. The cool crowd sort of accepted me enough. But I remember, like, this song being everybody's favourite, you know what I mean? And so... it wasn't that I discovered it as like a really kind of lone person who just soundtracked his own adolescence. It was that everybody seemed to be listening to it. And so I got into it. And it kind of marked that time where we're all just sort of exploring, drinking alcohol and having parties and trying to be cool. And yeah, it was just so much fun. I just got this image of like jumping around my mate Khaled's loft to this song. Whether that happened or not, you never know. But in my head, it did. I feel it departed. It's a cool song, though, I think.
Really. Absolutely. Cool. And where was home then? Where was growing up?
So my childhood was at two parks. It was a place called Abram Hill in Cumbernauld. I was there till about 11. And then we went to Hamilton, which is where I consider home, I think, because that was, I guess, my adolescence was there. So yeah, Hamilton, just outside Glasgow, really. Yeah. It's the sort of, yeah, the new town. Well, Hamilton isn't. Cumbernauld's a new town, kind of on the suburbs of Glasgow, and Hamilton's suburbs. Yeah, I mean, you would say Glasgow, really, but Hamilton. So my mate Khaled sort of lived down the road from me, and he had the kind of big house, you know what I mean? The one that you could actually have a party in.
Yeah.
His parents could hear the noise but weren't disturbed by it, so you could get away with kind of... and they were quite cool, his parents, as well, I remember. Yeah. They didn't mind us having another drink. Yeah, it was cool. I loved that. Danced a lot. And actually, like, I met... Well, because Snow Patrol, like, are mates of some of my mates, so, like, the band members are. And, like, I remember actually finding myself in one of their music videos at a pub in Broadway Market. And I didn't sort of realise I was in their video like for a while, because we were all just drinking and they were just shooting it. I hadn't really realised that I'd signed a waiver saying it was okay to... No, I think I was just half cut. And I didn't find out what song that was. I've not even got any idea. But I met them and was like, God, you guys were my childhood.
Oh, amazing.
So, yeah, it was really cool. Yeah, I like them a lot. I need to go back actually and listen to a lot of their songs now.
Did you like school?
I did, yeah, I did, overall. Yeah, I did. I loved school. I had a fun time, like, I think I loved the gossip of it, and I loved, like, the what's next yeah. of it. I felt it was very, I put a lot of pressure on myself. I was quite clever, and I sort of made that, like, oh, I better be really clever, and so I really studied hard, and so I missed out on kind of fun bits. But as I kind of got to 16 to 18, that's when I had my most fun. But it was always kind of tinged with this, I'm not going to say darkness, because it wasn't dark. It was just, I felt different. I felt unusual. And I it was definitely a secret, you know, that I was gay. And I was always worried that I'd be found out with that. It wasn't too traumatic or anything, but I just remember always, because you start to realise that your sexuality, I guess, is 14, 15, 16, yeah. And knowing, oh, shit, is what I thought at the time. And then, yeah, I just had to kind of confront that at the same time. And so that's why I always sort of it was like 70% positive and about 30% kind of troublesome. But
was there anyone else in your circle of friends that had come out or anything at that point?
No. And I've met some teenagers recently, and like with the show that I've been doing at Sassen, or that we did at Sassen, met some teenagers, and like they're out, and I'm like, fuck, you're so brave. Like, it's brilliant. Like, we couldn't have done that. Nah, yeah. No way. Not in the suburbs of Glasgow. No way. Actually, one of my best mates, Scott, he's gay, and he came out same as me after school, and he was my year. You know, we didn't have, I think it would have been such a distraction. Had we come out, we wouldn't have been able to focus on school. We wouldn't have been able to, you know what I mean? Like, it would have been all consuming. So it was better just to keep your mouth shut, get through it and leave. And then honestly, I think, the minute I left, I think I started uni in the September and I was out by the 1st of October or something, you know, like, thank God, you know, I can reinvent myself.
I enjoy it. I definitely take, you know, positives from, like, my daughters have just left school. And even, you know, in what I would say sort of maybe second and third year, I don't know what year that's called now, but in senior school. And they had so many openly gay school friends, and it wasn't a thing. Like, and I just think, they actually went to the same school as me, and I just think that would have been a big thing, like, when I was young. You know, I'm not saying that's right that it would have been, but it would have been in the area that we live in. And it's just really progressive and refreshing to know that, like, it's just not a thing with my daughter's generation and at their school. And that's really, really nice. And it is a pretty rough area that we live in. And it's, you know, a lot of the area around here is very, very right wing. And so it's nice to know that that generation are completely, you know, progressive.
Well, that's it. I just think that, like, because hate crimes against the LGBTQ+ community, they're on the rise. It's really, really worryingly so. But yeah, we've got this, like, it seems to be folk, my age and younger, slightly younger, who are committing the crimes, as far as I can, I'm sure that's a sweeping generalisation, but the younger people just don't seem to care all that negatively. I mean, they don't care all that much. And I think that's, thank God, that it's, you know, it's the sort of, maybe it's the last howl of the bigots, and that's going to kind of fade away soon. I hope so. It is worrying that it's rising, but yeah, we'll see.
Okay. First song you remember buying from a record shop, David?
This isn't cool either.
This one's can't be cool. You're not allowed to be cool on this one.
Yeah, that's true. It's okay. So this, I think this was on cassette. I think I bought this probably because I couldn't have afforded the CD. I feel like it was cassette. Men in Black, Will Smith. I still love it, I have to say. Whenever it comes on, I will boogie. I mean, when you'd see him in that alien in that video doing that bouncing, that's absolutely what comes out of me. Yeah, that was an absolute jam. I mean, I was obsessed with that film. I loved that film when I was a kid. I still do, to be honest. It's so good. And then, that song. I've got an image of buying it in a... No, it wouldn't have been... Because of where I'm from, I was racking my brain this morning trying to think of the name of the shop, but it must have been like an independent music shop. It had to have been because we didn't have big stores where I lived. So it was a tiny kind of wee shop. So, I mean, they don't exist anymore, do they? Independent.
They're few and far between. Music. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was where So anyway, I think I went in there and I remember being delighted that they had it, because I was worried it was going to be sold out at the time. And so I bought the cassette, and my mum had driven me there. So we got in the car and I put it on in the car, and just like, it was brilliant. Cassette, man. Oh, what? Do you know, it's the same. They sent me, the HBO people, they sent me a goodie pack of 80s stuff. And Callum, who plays Colin, was just like so in love with his like cassette player that they gave us, and I was just like, this is my childhood, and I was sort of really pissed off that this has now become retro. Like, get to hell.
Yeah.
Such a retro, and they've actually now done them to look like, so they're actually Bluetoothable now.
Yeah.
So you can put a cassette in, and the one they sent is Gloria Gaynor, put a cassette in and Bluetooth it somewhere, and it's proper like brand new, but it's now cool to have it. And I'm like, oh, there you go.
Who put the music together for that show?
Do you mean the composition?
Just who chose the records that were used, because it was so good.
Yeah, it has to. To be perfectly honest, I don't know the answer, and that's to my shame, really, because it's one of those things that it was sort of so post production. I was never introduced to that person. I don't believe anyway. I'm really sorry if I did meet them. I don't believe meeting them, so I'm not sure. But I would. I mean, Russell did write a lot of songs into his writing, so things like when Jill is cleaning up for my character Gloria.
Yeah.
There's a montage, more. I don't know how many more it is. More.
Yeah.
That he specified it had to be that. I think because he wrote a lot of the scenes to that music. The songs that she and Richie, Ollie Alexander's character, that they sing together, that was chosen. Gloria, the song. I mean, that feels like it was so obvious, but. That was our director, like in rehearsal, said to me, I'm going to really try and end the episode with Gloria. And it was like, oh my God, yeah, of course. Yeah, we hadn't really thought about it.
Yeah.
And in rehearsals, we put together Spotify playlists of all our favourite songs and share them. And then when we were on set, they'd play things like, there was this one amazing, never made it to the full cut, where they played, oh, Mickey, you're to find your blummer, Matthew, Mickey. And it was us in the bar all dancing around. They did this whole shot, never made it to the final cut, but I just think that would have been so fun to watch us all dancing to Mickey. Anyway, I never made it. So I think it's a mixture, really, between director Peter Hoare and Russell TD and composers and probably whoever they could get. Without costing a fortune, you know what I mean? But I mean, whoever it was, whether it was a collective mind or it's genius, isn't it? So good.
Well, whilst we're talking about dancing, track five, David, the song that soundtracked your year's clubbing.
This, people might shame me for, but I'm not ashamed. This is Moves Like Jagger, Maroon 5. Absolute grace. I mean, this for me was, it just seemed to go on for years for me, this song. I was clubbing well before this came out, but this was a couple of years where I really went for it with this song. And it was my jam. And whenever it came on, my mates would look for me if I'm off at the bar or I've went off with some guy that I've picked up. Like, they'd be like, okay, where's Dave? Because this is when he becomes extra, you know. and I'd push people off of the mini stage and the two brewers and clap. I'm like, get, this is my time now.
Oh, wonderful.
I love this one.
And where was clubbing?
All over, really. But London, for sure. Like, I mean, I was in Liverpool for a year before going to London. Had a good time there. Learned how to go out. I was only like 18 there, but London's been my clubbing days. And for me, it's Clapham, really. The odd time in Soho, of course, like you can't not, but Soho just was too expensive, it felt like.
Yeah.
So Clapham was my clubbing days for sure. And specifically the two brewers, I just adore that place. I'm back in recently, I watched a cabaret act with my mum and a couple of my mates. And then the manager there kind of clocked me and said, oh my God, are you Gloria from Sin? I was like, yeah. And they were like, do you want somebody to sit? I said, actually, that'd be great, because my mum's getting, her feet are getting sore now. So they said, oh yeah. And I remember thinking, okay, this is really cool. Like, I've always fought to try and get a seat in that place. I'm like, now we could actually sit down for a bit. Two brewers for me. I was there every Saturday night. There was a period where I was in Shoreditch as well. Now, what was that place called? The Joiner's Arms.
Yep.
Do you remember that place? Like a meat market, that one. Loved it. That was a good year. At one point, I went there like 3 times a week.
So was GAY or Pop Stars on the radar?
Pop Stars was there once, I remember, because that we just started drama school.
Was that at the Scala then?
Oh, God, King's Cross.
Scala, yeah.
Yeah. And then it seemed to shut down the next time I looked, it felt like. GUI Late was a big one for me. That was always a place I looked forward to going. And I actually was lucky that we managed to hit GUI Astoria before that shot. That was brilliant. We saw like a, what a venue. I mean, it was just beautiful, wasn't it? Yeah. Like, is that still there? Like, what have they done to that?
No idea what it is now.
I know it's not a club, but you've got this cavernous theatre that they turned into a club. Ah, it was amazing. Like, what have they done to it? Anyway, we had a great time there. Heaven, a little bit, for sure, of course. Like, but they were the big, big nights. The problem is because I went to drama school in Sidcup and we lived in Streatham afterwards. And then I was in East London and then I've moved back to kind of South London. Now I live in I was in Kingsville and I'm in Sutton. It's always the night bus was too long.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So we'd just hang out in Clapham a lot. And then I guess like when I started treating myself to a taxi of a night out, that's when I would have the big night out in town and we'd go to those places. Yeah, for sure. I loved them.
So, you know, in what I didn't really sort of touch on, which I like to always ask guests, is like, in them kind of sort of formative years at school and you know, the years that follow kind of college years and stuff, like, did you know what you wanted to be?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
I did. I always wanted to be an actor when I was younger. Like, it was the thing I was really good at. I remember knowing people liked me more for doing it, if you see what I mean. Like, they laughed a lot. Or they'd really listen to me. And I was that was something I perceived and thought, oh, why do they do that? And then that was really young, like 5 years old, and then kept doing it. There's a period where I was going to be a doctor. I remember speaking to my teachers at school and was like, I think I'm going to drop drama and do double sciences so I can do medicine. And my drama teacher, Miss Burns, Sarah Burns, she said to me, I wouldn't normally do this, but I think you need to push acting. I think you've got it in you.
Stuff like that.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like it's a conversation that rings. She probably won't remember she said it, I'm sure, but I really remember it. Like just someone saying, not trying to convince you, just going, this is what I think of you. It felt very personal. And when a teacher is a teacher to you, and they
believe in your abilities.
Yeah. And just sort of enough to pull you aside and have a positive conversation with you, rather than just like you messed up your homework or you need to buck up your ideas. That's going to say, I think you're excellent. That was so much. And then, so then I went to drama school. It's been quite a boring path in that sense, that I kind of knew what I wanted to do. I set my mind to it. It's not been a straightforward path. My God, it's been bumpy. A lot of rejections and everything, like, my God, like anybody. But I've always known I've wanted to do it, yeah. I have to say, I nearly gave up. It sounds a bit like, I'm sure every actor's done this, but I was going to be a social worker. Honestly, a couple of months before I got SSN, I'd been offered to do the programme. And I was really pleased with that. I was like, yeah, this feels like the right path for me to be a social worker. I really want to do it. And then SSN came around the corner and I thought, well, you know, you started this journey, you might as well see it through, see what happens. And then things went well. So I haven't ruled social work out, we'll see. But I'm an actor for now.
Was you a confident kid?
I think I appeared confident, yeah. I now know that it was a lot of, like, it was a great defence mechanism. A very clever one. Like, I was able to kind of really put that on a lot.
Sure.
But my confidence now feels honest, to be authentic, is the word that I'm aiming for. But yeah, as a kid, I was always outspoken and I was always able to, like, I just knew that's what people wanted me to be, so I did it. Yeah. Gosh, good questions. You keep making me, I'm rubbish at this. I then go, was I? And then I sort of drift off. Like, that's not good for podcasts. Do you know what I mean? Like, too many pauses.
You're doing wonderful, David. Well, let's talk about home. And I'm going to take you there now, because for track six, I want a favourite song from an artist from your home county, please.
Yeah, okay. So this is Prospect Street, The Big Dish. Do you know it?
I don't. Tell me more.
It's one of those songs I don't know hugely well. I know the song really well. I don't know much about the band hugely, and I don't know much about its origins. I was in a record shop in Chichester. It must have been about 2014, 2015. And I found this album. I can't even remember. It's in this cupboard behind me here. And it had a picture of, like, Glasgow, all these people in Glasgow, and it was a compilation. It was put together in the '80s. It's only about 8 or 9 songs, and this is one of them on it. And I remember hearing this song, just been like, oh, I don't know, everything about it felt like Glasgow to me, and everything about it felt like Glasgow in my childhood. So I don't know whether I've heard this song subconsciously when I was younger, and it's got a moment, but I just love it. So I did a bit of research, and The Big Dish, I believe, are from Airdrie, the band members. And Airdrie is, my dad's side of the family all come from Gartcosh, which is a small kind of town outside of Coatbridge. And Airdrie is basically another one of those small towns near Coatbridge. So Airdrie's like, I've got a lot of kind of family members that have lived there or nearby for a lot of time. And so maybe that's why I've heard that. I was thinking the other day, going, maybe somebody played this in a record when I was a really young kid.
Yeah.
That would have been like when my mum and dad were together. So that would have been 1 or 2 years old. I wonder if it was on, you know, but that sounds a bit mad, but it's just a beautiful song. And I just would encourage anyone to listen to it. It's really uplifting, which is unusual for, like, I think any music coming out of Scotland in the 80s, like, because, like, it was mostly kind of either anarchic or rebellious or just woeful about poverty. This is saying, like, things are going to be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure that's what the lyrics saying, but the music's saying it. Yeah, it's brilliant. Lovely song.
When you spoke about, you know, kind of the ride that he's acting, you know, that as a career, and how it can present rejection because it's such a tough industry. Confidence aside, would you say you're driven?
Yeah, I would, definitely. And sometimes I worry if that's like a sin, you know, like, is it bad that I've got a level of ambition like that? Because it does mean that I put myself first at times and my career first. The business is something I favour at times over personal health, relationships. Like, I don't think to such a detrimental effect, but detrimental impact, but I am very driven. I know exactly what I want at times, and I know where I want to go with it, which can make me very stubborn. But I feel that way of, but I feel like I'm really, it sounds arrogant, but I really don't mean it this way. I do think I'm really, like, it's one of those things, you know, if you feel like deep down, I'm quite good at something. And I do think I'm quite good at it, so I just really want to do it. Yep. And I kind of get pissed off if nobody lets me. So I put my foot down and hope for the, like, as I'm pedal to the metal and go for it. So I do feel very driven, yeah. I really go for it. That's instilled in me from my mum, you know, like, to be honest, I think most Glaswegians in particular are, like, there's just that kind of, like, we've got to get on with it, and you just don't let anyone take the piss out of you and just get on with it and go for it, you know?
Do you think that feeds into one of the first things you said at the beginning about when lockdown hit, like, you have that mentality of, like, well, I can't have, like, an afternoon off. I've got to do something. Do you think that's kind of like a byproduct of that drive, that incessant need to feel like, well, I've got to work, like, I've got to do something, like...
Yeah, definitely. Because otherwise you're lazy. That's what my brain tells me.
But it's bollocks, though, isn't it? It's absolute bollocks, isn't it? It's like... The guy that actually got me into doing podcasting is an actor, actually, called Scroobius Pip. And he was, you know, he said to me the other day, like, he put a little post up about, like, don't wear it as a badge of honour, like, how hard you work, like, how many hours you work. It's like, you know, and I was like, yeah, that's a really good point, that. Like,
totally.
and you know, he says to me loads of times, he's like, just have the afternoon off, man. And I'm like, what? And he's like, just have the afternoon off. And, like, and he's super driven. And, like, and but when you do sort of step back and think about it, you think, well, ain't the end of the world, is it, to have a day off? Like,
and like, the thing is, I'd say that to anybody, have an afternoon off. Like, gather yourself, relax. Like, more work or high quality of work will occur from you being rested.
Yeah.
I know that consciously, but my body can't sit still. I've got to just keep doing stuff. I was listening to, you know, Michaela Cole. She won, was it an Emmy recently? And she said, in her speech, she was talking to writers, saying that success and visibility are almost feel like the same thing now, or that one relies on the other. And she said, actually, turn off your social media and turn off everything else and see what you get in the silence. I was just like, I felt very moved by that, because it felt like, I was like, yeah, that's sometimes what I need to do, is just be quiet and retreat. At times, I'm getting better at it. I have to say, like, I'm definitely, lockdown was great for that. It did teach me to, you know, it was literally, I'm being told to stay at home. So if you've got nothing you can work on right now, why not relax, watch those films you've been meaning to watch forever, read the books you've been trying to catch up on, do stuff that's going to nourish you and enrich you. Yeah, rather than sort of being like a hamster in a wheel. A teacher said that to me once when I was at drama school, that I reminded them of a hamster in a wheel. Sometimes I could just run around and not really get anywhere, which is true at times. So that drive can be kind of both my saviour, because it keeps my eye on the ball and it keeps me going, but it can also just really wreck me, and I have to then sleep for days, because it's just, I've just batted my head against a brick wall for play. It's ridiculous.
Okay. Last track. David, I'm going to ask you, please, to play Tastemaker and Influencer. And for track 7, a song that you think many people may not know that you would like them to hear.
This is called Orange Trees by Rose Betts. It's the most beautiful song. I think it might be one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard. So Rose is actually the daughter of one of my friends. And that's the only reason why I discovered her music, but it's not the reason why I think it's the most beautiful song or that she is extraordinary. I just can't quite believe that I know her dad that well. Because she's just amazing. She's so proper as well. She's soul and integrity, and she only does what's right for her. And this is one of those songs that there's a story behind it, which I won't tell you, because I don't know that I'll get it right. And I want anyone who's interested in listening to the music to research it so that it's accurate. But it's a hauntingly beautiful story that what it was that inspired her to write this song. It's just gorgeous. I don't know what else to say about it, really. It just, every time I hear it, I'm moved by it. I love all her music, to be honest. It's actually her 30th birthday at the weekend, which I forgot all about until I told my partner, these are my song choices. And then he went, oh my God, we've got her 30th birthday at the weekend. I'm like, what? We need to go and buy a present. I don't have time. So that was weird. I had no idea. So yeah, she's just wonderful, 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 wonderful. Orange Trees by Rose Betts. Please, people, listen to it. And all of her songs, because she's not she's not a big artist yet. Although having said this, she did sing the opening credits song for Justice League recently. Like what?
Just throw that in there.
Do you know what I mean? I was on the phone to her dad, and I said, "How's Rose getting on?" And he went, "Well, listen to this," and then he told me, and I'm like, "Ah." And actually, I think she may have won like a Globe or something by accident, but nobody knows about her. People do, but not. It's not the sort of level that she should be recognised as the kind of Adele level, I think. So, please listen to that song and her other tracks. She's amazing.
Well, we can make that a little easy for everyone because we put together a Spotify playlist to accompany the podcast.
Yes, thank you.
With all your tracks on there. Don't go careful with Celine Dion. You know, I don't want anyone listening to have their parents walking past their bedroom door looking in thinking, why is he sobbing uncontrollably on the floor?
I know. Just like,
approach with caution this playlist, people.
That's it. You've got to be careful. Don't listen while driving, guys. It's too much. Or on a bike, you'll fall off.
And so, David, I mentioned at the beginning that we're in October, coming toward the end of a year that started quite bleak, and is you know, hopefully going to be a far more happier place the second half of this year. What are you looking forward to from the rest of this year, personally, and what's happening professionally?
Personally, I'm most looking forward to Christmas because last year's Christmas was silly.
Yeah.
I was at home. I mean, I was with my partner, which is a blessing, and he wasn't working because my partner's a paramedic, and so normally he's working, and he wasn't, and it was great, and we had a lovely time together. But I missed being with my family up in Scotland. I missed seeing his family. I missed seeing my nieces. So I'm really looking forward to Christmas for sure. I'm looking forward to like that whole thing. You know, Christmas seems to start November through December, and you can kind of go for drinks with people and nice dinners, and the markets start. And since I'm not one for Christmas at all, I sort of actually find it kind of irritating because everything becomes busier and you can't do anything. But this year I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah. And I'm trying to think that as I'm speaking, I'm going, oh my God, if I get anyone's wedding that I should say, I'm really looking forward to that. I don't think I do. And also my own wedding, though. I mean, that's next year. But next July, I'm looking forward to finally getting married and maybe having a holiday if we can still go. Professionally, you know, things are still forming themselves, really. It's bizarre. I had this huge injection of energy that came from the release of It's a Sin and everything that's come from that. But the industry was shut and remained shut for so long, and then only now is it opening back up. So there's this kind of overwhelming, like, barrage of auditions to do, which just takes quite a long time, you know, like to kind of subject, really do the work properly. So that keeps me busy. We'll see what comes. Oh, still a bit daft. I found out this week that I'm nominated for a Scottish BAFTA.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm just like, so I'm still coming to terms with that. That's coming up. I forgot about that. Oh my God, that's bad. Yeah, that's on the 20th of November. I've got that.
Well, that's another thing you can talk to Gail Porter about, because she won one last year.
Oh my God. Oh my God, yes. Oh my God. Okay, we're going to be best friends. I can see it coming. Yeah, I'll just like call her up. Like, hi. Yeah, I will definitely drop her a message. Although I'll probably be one of those creeps that sort of drops into DMs and she's like, we're okay to exchange emojis, but you're not up to my level yet, D, to have a conversation.
She's the best, mate. She's lovely.
Yeah. But we'll see. It's fun and interesting few months, I think. We'll see.
Oh, wonderful. And if people want to keep up to speed with everything you're up to, where's the best place to follow David?
Either Twitter or Instagram. I like both equally. And I sort of shout a bit more on Twitter about things that piss me off. So David Carlyle, which is not the town spelling, Carlyle _. That's my social media handles. You can get me there. Where else? Or you can come to my front door.
Let's not give away your address on it.
No, we won't do that. But you know, I'm still relatively unemployed, so I'm quite happy for that.
Pop round for a brew.
Yeah.
Oh, David, it's been delightful talking with you today. Totally. Thanks so much, mate. It's been an absolute joy.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, mate.
Oh, thank you. There you go. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. What an absolutely wonderful man. Beautiful chat. It's just nice when you just get a little connection when you're chatting and it makes the guest feel comfortable about sobbing to Celine Dion. You know the rest of the conversation is going to be good when they've given that information away. I had such a lovely time. And if you've got a fraction of joy, a fraction of the joy that I got having that conversation with David, then you've just had a smashing time. Thanks once more to David. Thanks to you lot. Be nice to each other, and I'll see you next time. Love you lots. Bye-bye.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. Keep me, Stu Whippin.